relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Deep state or the permanent, unaccountable bureaucracy, if you prefer, are they losing their grip on information dominance? Are their propaganda narratives collapsing? Well, it could be, given what's happened in the last few days. Here's a little reminder of the rather unusual person who was the director of the Board for Disinformation Governance, Nina Jankowicz.
Critical race theory has become one of those hot button issues that the Republicans and other, you know, disinformers who are engaged in disinformation for profit, frankly, there are plenty of, you know, media outlets that are making money off of this, too, have seized on.
The Republicans and other disinformers. Oh, I see. Because the Russia collusion hoax and the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop by DHS, FBI, DOJ. No. That has nothing to do with the Democrat Party. That's the woman who was the director of the DHS Government Disinformation Board. What does it all mean and where did it begin? What is the germination of information control? Let's talk to one man who, in my opinion, he's done the lion's share of the work releasing for us the information on just how dangerous our republic's grip on the truth is, thanks to certain bad actors inside U.S. government. We are delighted to have him back with us here on America First. Mike Benz, greetings.
Greetings to you as well, Sebastian. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, first things first, we're going to go deep dive. We're going to do a full hour on the latest revelations. We're going to talk about what happens inside DHS across the government to try and control narratives. But first things first, everybody write this down, foundationforfreedomonline.com. That's foundationforfreedomonline.com, of which you are the executive director. And right now, follow this man on Twitter, Mike Benz Cyber. That's Mike Benz, B-E-N-Z, Cyber. Before we talk about the things that you broke yesterday on Tuesday, let's talk about just a moment for those who missed our last discussion. So what was your position inside the U.S. government, Mike?
Sure. So I was the Cyber DAS, which is Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Communications and Information Technology, which is a long way of saying I ran the big tech portfolio at the end of 2020 during a period of intense consolidation of big tech and big government, where really the main adversarial party was the free speech rights of U.S. citizens. And so I saw from inside how big government and big tech were really wrapped into one sort of interest group, one sort of lobby group for their own sort of proprietary pecuniary interests, where there was really no lobby for the American people, especially to be able to speak freely online. So I created the Foundation for Freedom Online as a offshoot of what I considered essential public diplomacy work for a free and open internet.
Well, God bless you for doing it. You've educated, enlightened me so much since I first heard of you via a mutual contact at Mar-a-Lago, and then everything you've done on Twitter Spaces. Mike, let me just share with you a comment that kind of shocked me, that a very sober individual, one of the few truly dedicated investigative journalists made on my radio show, maybe about a year ago, and that man is John Solomon, a dogged investigative reporter who's worked for, you name it, AP, Reuters, Washington Post, you name it. This is a good guy who actually still believes in journalism, created his own company called JustTheNews.com. And with regards to the Russia collusion hoax that he reported on admirably and then afterwards was smeared by the mainstream media, he said the following to me, Mike, on my show. He said, the tools of Cold War propaganda that had been used to target the Soviet Union and our enemies have in recent years been turned inward against U.S. citizens. I mean, that's a stunning statement to say. How do you react to John Solomon's commentary?
The only addition I would make is to say before it was turned inward, it was given several shots of steroids to make it bigger, badder, and meaner than it ever was. You see, what happened was, is in the analog age, we had a Cold War propaganda apparatus that was also married to official government propaganda organs. We had a U.S. information agency. And at the time in the Cold War, there really was no press by and for the people in the pure sense that it would come to be in the digital age. All of the traditional legacy media institutions that were popular during the Cold War were offshoots, early offshoots of the Office of War Information, really from 1942 until the Eisenhower era. You had basically all of the means of mass communications. You had, you know, since the invention of the printing press, you had newspapers, but then you also had the telegraph in the 1800s. You had wireless communications in the 1900s, TV in Hollywood. All of those modalities of mass communications were all rolled into the World War II effort through OWI, the Office of War Information. And remember, Fox News didn't come along until the 1990s. CBS, NBC, and ABC were all run by former OWI guys. There was always a back channel.
So the office, let's just repeat that in case people missed it. The handful of media organs we had until the explosion of cable news and the internet, the handful of news platforms America had were being run by people who had been involved with the Office of War Information, correct?
Correct. They were almost every single one to a T was a veteran of or business partner of an office of War Information propaganda veteran. Now, that's all fine and well, except that the relationship never ended. There was always back channels between the national security state and the editorial desks of all of the major publishing houses and news-making institutions in the U.S. It didn't mean that it was necessarily top-down control, but what it meant is that there was always a negotiation between stakeholders within organs of U.S. military, intelligence, and diplomatic spheres, and news media and publishing houses, which is why you so often see this sort of revolving door between media institutions and public diplomacy positions within the State Department. For example, there's a particular wing of the State Department that's received particular notoriety lately called the Global Engagement Center.
Yes.
Elon, this is the subject of multiple Twitter file dumps, the subject of multiple recent scandalous revelations around the boomerang funding of domestic censorship, where the Global Engagement Center would operate essentially a laundering operation where they would want to target domestic populist groups in the U.S., but couldn't do so directly because the State Department's foreign-facing. So they would launder it out to British firms who would then turn around and work with U.S. tech platforms to censor the Americans that the State Department wanted to but couldn't do directly. So they laundered it the same way you'd launder drug money by washing it. Instead of washing it through pizza shops or laundromats, they laundered it through British disinformation expert firms.
Which is in contravention to their own mandate and also the constitutional protection of U.S. citizens from a warrantless surveillance by their own government.
And they know it, and that's why they try to be so cute about it, and they try to build up this sort of jargon-laden academies in order to filter various levels of linguistic deflection, what's really going on. Of course, the moment you trace the money or even the source documents, it all falls apart, and it's starting to fall apart for them now.
It's a good rule. It's a good rule. Follow the money. We're talking to Mike Bentz, Executive Director of the Foundation for Freedom Online. Please bookmark it right now. Lots of information you will not find anywhere else. We're going to discuss one of the stories he just broke. Just go right now, foundationforfreedomonline.com, and follow Mike at Mike Bentz Cyber. That's Mike Bentz Cyber. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you appreciate the deep dive with people like Mike, who have unique access to information you need to know. The true experts, the newsmakers, make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. Go to whichever platform you prefer, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never, ever miss an episode. Leave us a five-star review and share the links with your friends. Likewise, if you are America First, check out all the America First gear, made in America, of course, at our website. The most popular item right now is the FBI t-shirt, jointly produced with Chris Blunt. This time, it stands for Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. The Elon Musk t-shirt and mug is the newest. Hashtag Twitter Files, everything we're talking about. The censorship of conservatives. And lastly, the challenge coin. You asked for it, we designed it. Go to SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorkaStore.com. Today, we are partnering with Food for the Poor to provide urgently needed food to some of the most impoverished countries in our hemisphere. Because of interrupted planting cycles, rising food prices, and the lingering impact of COVID, the list of families unable to feed their children grows longer by the day. But you can make a difference to these families. Today, a meal-for-meal match means your one-time gift of $144 provides a family of four with food for a year. That's two meals a day for the next year for a family who struggle to get even a handful of rice or enough corn for a tortilla. Knowing your gift will never have more impact than right now, will you rescue one family, three families, or even 10 families? Go to SebGorka.com and click on the red Send Food banner. Text the keyword G-O-R-K-A to 91999 and you will get a link to make your life-saving gift. Or to give your gift by phone, call my toll-free number 855-330-4673. What was the catalyst originally? Because these quote-unquote tools to fight disinformation were being applied internationally by the State Department. Who were they targeting? What kind of political entities were they targeting abroad? What was the linking aspect? And then when did they decide, okay, well, this kind of quote-unquote enemy should be targeted here on U.S. soil?
Sure. So really what you started to have is a digital parallel to what was done in the analog era. Since the national security state was established, really with the National Security Act in 1947, you always had forms of media powered soft power projection, meaning hard power being, you know, physical involvement, hard military involvement, soft power being things like media influence, cultural influence, economic influence. So you always had media soft power projection from the State Department. That's a tale as old as the early, as early America. But in the digital age, the use of social media opened up the opportunity to be able to create favorable political ecosystems for U.S. interests abroad. With a doctrine called Diplomacy 2.0 under Jared Cohen at the State Department from about 2007 to 2010, culminating in the Arab Spring, essentially toppling regimes in Tunisia and Egypt and all over Middle East, North Africa in ways that at the time were deemed to be advantageous to U.S. interests. But then really in 2014, you had events in Ukraine, particularly what happened with the referendum and annexation of Crimea as part of the Russian Federation. You had a new military doctrine called hybrid warfare that was espoused by the Department of Defense, the State Department, and the intelligence services in order to say we need to be more aggressive about influencing hearts and minds in the media space. Otherwise, more territory, particularly in Central and Eastern Europe, might cede to the Russian Federation.
So this is information warfare in the name of protecting democracy.
Right. Now, this appears to be where Nina Jankovic, who you played at the beginning of this segment, you know, the sort of famed, perhaps infamous figure at the heart of the Disinformation Governance Board. This appears to be where she got her start in the disinformation game. I could not believe, frankly, in April of last year when I saw Nina Jankovic's name as being picked to head the Disinformation Governance Board, because I remember coming across that name and I had been following her for a number of years now, since 2019 when I found her name in a set of documents related to the Integrity Initiative's UK intercluster cell on Russia.
Now, give us that name again, so people, you know, these Orwellian, Kafka-esque names. What is this British entity?
So the name of the entity was called the Institute for Statecraft, but it ran an initiative known as the Integrity Initiative. And by the way, Sebastian, you and I have previously spoken about the word integrity and its strange usage here as a seeming branding calling card of intelligence cutouts. You had the Transition Integrity Project that we discussed as a that was used to simulate a war game to overthrow the U.S. election if Trump won.
Which was involving Podesta, Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager, correct?
That's exactly right. He actually role-played the role of Joe Biden in an event that Joe Biden lost the Electoral College but had to use Black Lives Matter muscle and labor muscle to shut down critical infrastructure to force a negotiated settlement of the election. So that was the Transition Integrity Project. The Election Integrity Partnership was the formal 2020 election censorship group that DHS deputized to censor on behalf of the federal government using U.S. cyber infrastructure at DHS to do it.
DHS, created after 9/11, had no mandate or remit to do censorship internally, correct?
Oh, absolutely not. That all happened during the foreign to domestic switcheroo when they used the censorship infrastructure set up to stop so-called Russian disinformation and then simply said, well, domestic disinformation is also a threat to democracy. So while we have this bullet loaded in the chamber, let's just aim it at domestic speech as well. That's essentially what happened. So the Integrity Initiative, which is, again, yet another use of this word integrity as a sort of branding device for an aggregation of military intelligence and diplomatic folks. The Integrity Initiative was a clandestine operation set up primarily through the UK Foreign Office, but also with ties to the US Global Engagement Center, that set up cluster cells within a dozen different NATO countries in order to control and manipulate online discourse with back channels to British intelligence. Now you can see in the Integrity Initiative documents, which you can download online, that in the opening introduction document given to cluster cell members, of which Nina Jankovic was one, and of which many of actually the leading figures in the disinformation space today were part as well. But in the very first opening documents, they instruct newly recruited cluster cell members to be, quote, helpfully uninformative about sources of funding for the Integrity Initiative and to try to aggregate a swath across the political spheres, the cultural spheres, the journalistic spheres, and the economic spheres within each of the NATO countries in order to create basically a whole society stakeholder consensus about what kinds of information operations to run online, and in particular, black PR, crisis PR operations in order to tank the political nominations of right-wing populist candidates who are deemed to be a threat to the political integrity of NATO.
Did you notice in the State of the Union speech last month, Biden doubled down on his spending plans, adding even more to the federal deficit? That doesn't bode well for the value of your money. Sebastian Gorka here. Biden's disconnected view of the economy means there will be no meaningful steps taken to lessen inflation and lower interest rates. Your cash reserves and investments will be worth less, which is why I recommend calling veteran-owned Midas Gold Group to look into safeguarding your wealth with the stability of gold while you still can. Gold traditionally holds its value when economies fail, guarding against the destruction of inflation and the ruin of a recession. Don't let Biden's misguided economy wipe you out. Talk with the good folks at Midas Gold Group. Go to MidasGoldGroup.com or call 855-322-GOLD. That's 855-322-GOLD. It's gold you can hold. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD. All right. I want to go back to what's happening internally and the story that you broke on Tuesday. But explain these two concepts, black PR or crisis PR, and what who's being targeted with regards to that, Mike?
Right. So the idea is a democracy is a struggle for hearts and minds of the public, who in turn picks their government representatives. And so that is essentially a struggle between, you know, what's sort of known in the PR space as sort of white PR, which is positive press about someone, or black PR, which is sort of negative press or leaving a mark, or inducing a crisis. Crisis management, crisis PR. These are terms for destabilizing a political figure or a region in order to open up opportunities in order to replace that person politically. And so, for example, in the Integrity Initiative, there was a Spanish Vox Party of a general official, Pedro Baños was his name, and the UK inner cluster cell, of which Nina Jankovic was a part, as was Anne Applebaum from The Atlantic, as was Ben Nimmo from The Atlantic Council and from Graphica, now, by the way, head of threat intelligence at Facebook, top censor at Facebook, was a part of this as well with Nina Jankovic. They bragged in their own internal reports how they organized a crisis PR set of hashtags and rumors online, coordinated through their stakeholder group, in order to create nightmare press for Pedro Baños, and then take that press and run it straight to the Prime Minister of Spain in order to convince the Prime Minister of Spain that it would be hugely unpopular to have Pedro Baños in this national security position, because of all the bad PR that was floating around.
This is what is called political opposition research. This is done by political parties, usually, Mike. Correct?
Yes. Well, it's an operation. It's not just research. It's the other end of it as well. It's the application. It's actually very similar to what was done domestically, internally, with Rene D'Aresta and the company called New Knowledge. Vis-a-vis what we now know about the 2017 Senate runoff campaign with Roy Moore. As it turned out, that one of the top DHS censors, the major censorship advisor to the Department of Homeland Security, who was actually deputized to censor the 2020 election using DHS infrastructure, her name is Renee D'Aresta. She was caught running a firm called New Knowledge, which created fake Russian troll accounts online using a VPN to simulate a Russian server. She mass subscribed 23,000 fake Russian accounts that her firm bought, and then ran the story that she had created, her firm had created, to the press, to MSNBC, to CNN, to the New York Times, who in turn create a story that Roy Moore was being backed by Russians. Not knowing that Roy Moore wasn't actually being backed by Russians. He was being backed by Rene D'Aresta's fake Russians, and then Rene D'Aresta's firm laundered the crisis that they had induced into the press. That same blueprint is exactly what Nina Jankovic's Integrity Initiative was doing, and they bragged about it in their own internal documents and claimed responsibility for getting Pedro Baños's political nomination rescinded, because they created a fake press, a fake scandal, laundered into the press, and then took that bad press to political stakeholders to convince them it would be a bad political move because of the bad political press that they falsely engineered. So these are scam artists being, yeah.
Yeah, let's be clear here. These are government actors or people working with government actors that are using a smear tactic that is usually done by political parties. They're doing it internationally, and now they're using it domestically against people like Roy Moore. That is the enormity of what we are saying right here. This is why the revelations of January 6th, of what DHS did with intelligence units that were not authorized to do what they were doing in terms of the counterterrorism mandate, have been happening in recent years. We're talking to Mike Benz, Executive Director of the Foundation for Freedom Online. That's foundationforfreedomonline.com. Follow him right now on Twitter at Mike Benz Cyber. That's Mike, B-E-N-Z, Cyber. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We're talking about big tech. We're talking about censorship. What is the piece of big tech that you use 100 times a day? It's this. It's your phone. Why would you have it connected to a company that's on the side of the censors, like my old phone company, Verizon, that surrendered to Nancy Pelosi and provided my phone data, my wife's phone data, my children's phone data to her illegal, illegitimate January 6th committee? Why would you support and make money for people who hate you and hate this nation? Don't. Do what I did. Switch today to the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America. It's called Patriot Mobile. They have a nationwide network, the best 4G, 5G networks. You can keep your old number. They have a completely U.S.-based customer support team that is superb. Don't wait any longer. Use my name for free activation and also extra discounts for veterans and first responders. Do not fund people who hate you with every call you make and every text you send. How asinine is that? Join the good guys who are on your side. It's that simple. Make a choice. Switch today. Call 878-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka. That's 878-728-7468 or just go today to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Don't fund your enemies. PatriotMobile.com/Gorka. Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented the MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that is made with a temperature regulating thread, the MyPillow 2.0 is the softest and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For my exclusive listeners, the MyPillow 2.0 has a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Gorka. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square for the buy one, get one free offer, enter promo code Gorka or call 800-829-8468. That's code G-O-R-K-A. Go today. Now, one of the things that's truly remarkable about your website is just the amount of information and just things that, funnily enough, nobody else is covering in the mainstream media. Here's a clip that you will explain for us. Eric, play clip.
There was a lack of capability around election disinformation. This is not because CISA didn't care about disinformation, but at the time they lacked both kind of the funding and the legal authorizations to go do the kinds of work that would be necessary to truly understand how election disinformation was operating. So because of the feedback and the ideas from these this group, we were able to pull together pretty quickly a project between these four different institutions to try to fill the gap of the things that the government could not do themselves. There are kind of four major stakeholders that we operated with that we worked beside at EIP. Our partners in government, most particularly those in CISA, DHS, but also in all the local and state governments with whom we operated with the Election Integrity Infrastructure, ISAC. We worked with civil society groups such as the NAACP, MITRE, Common Cause, and the Healthy Elections Project that worked at both MIT and Stanford. And then we also worked with the major platforms, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, Nextdoor, and the like.
So that's a description of the Election Integrity Partnership. What is CISA, and what are they boasting about there, Mike?
They're boasting about the largest mass social media censorship operation in human history. So this group labeled 22 million tweets just on Twitter alone as misinformation incidents in the 5 months before the 2020 election. And they did this with 15 different social media platforms. So this is hundreds of millions of content, the pieces of content.
Now let me ask an obvious question. Millions of posts, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of man hours. Who's doing this and who's funding it?
Well, unfortunately, it's not if you're powered by AI. And this is the dirty underside of so much of this. Once you have a narrative outlawed, say mail-in ballots, if you say that mail-in ballots are not safe and secure, any narrative which undermines public faith or confidence in mail-in ballots is a ipso facto content terms of service content violation, then you can simply program the AI to detect challenges to mail-in ballots. You can simply keep a running database of hashtags, for example, that challenge it. You can do very rudimentary sentiment analysis. You can use n-grams. You can use word embeddings, and you can basically create a real-time radar system for the popularity of political ideas using AI, and then you can simply tune it all down. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't just handpick these 22 million. What they did is they ran AI analysis on 856 million tweets, and the AI deduced that 22 million of them were misinformation. Yeah, this is, if you almost think of it like a scene from The Matrix where they're being chased by sentinels from the future, that's sort of the way speech operates online now. And it has been the case since this technology, which was developed by DARPA to stop ISIS recruiting online in 2014 and 2015 by studying ISIS linguistic dialectics. This was all repurposed inward after 2016 using Google Jigsaw's Perspective API and then a number of other retailers who came into the space. It's now being funded to the tune of tens of millions of dollars by the National Science Foundation in order to perfect the AI, in order to be able to tune up their own propaganda and tune you out of democratic existence.
So to be clear, the tools that were created to stop jihadi terrorists from using the internet and recruiting fellow suicide terrorists, those tools are now being used against anybody who dares question the results of an election or who has otherwise conservative things that they're saying. Talk to us about this story. Fox News on Tuesday, DHS agency appears to be burying evidence of involvement with domestic censorship activities. What's this story?
Well, our team at FFO is a frequent visitor to CISA's Mis, Dis, and Malinformation team's website page. It's a veritable goldmine of loud and proud public confessions to domestic censorship. It's frankly been shocking to us for several years at this point, where you've got, since May 2021, CISA has said on its website that its Mis, Dis, and Malinformation team works with tech platforms to go after, quote, domestic disinformation. Now, sometime in the past several months, owing in part to a combination of a Republican victory in the House in the last midterms, the revelations and political momentum from the Twitter files, as well as subpoenas that have been fired off to the tech companies by Jim Jordan's committee, and now several open hearings on the subject, CISA appears to be clamming up and getting cold feet about the political branch that they have to stand on with respect to being so loud and proud about domestic censorship. You see, every other government agency who's in on the game, it uses a sort of laundering device, the Department of Defense doesn't just come right out and say that they work with tech companies to take down domestic disinformation, but they will provide funding to Graphica and to NewsGuard and to a dozen other domestic censorship organs. They'll launder it, but they don't say it on their website that this is within their jurisdiction. CISA claimed that it had the power to treat domestic disinformation, your opinions online, as a cyber attack on U.S. critical infrastructure that could be treated just like a hacking attack. So your opinions, for example, on COVID-19, because healthcare is considered critical infrastructure, if you said, you know what, I'm not sure masks really work with the efficacy they say they do, someone at CISA has the authority and very well may have worked in tandem with their private sector partners to say, you know what, that tweet is a cyber attack on U.S. critical infrastructure, and we're going to use our basically national security back channels to the content moderation teams of the tech platforms.
Let me take
that content down.
Let me be, because I need to translate this for the layman. This is the equivalent. So they're saying here that if you use the Second Amendment to express an opinion, then if that doesn't comport with what the government likes, they're going to say that's an attack against America. You are a national security threat, like a terrorist, and then we're going to use those tools against you. This is truly, truly incredible, truly, truly Orwellian. If you have any questions to do with anything we're discussing here, see the prima facie evidence that's on Mike's website. That's that simple. You know, we're giving you a guide, but then you can see these people saying it in their own words. That's at foundationforfreedomonline.com. All right, every time we have these discussions, they absolutely fly by. We're almost done, but please listen. If you follow this man on Twitter and you get a notice that he's going onto a Twitter space, he's going to be discussing this live, go onto that Twitter space and listen to what this man has to say. All right, last two questions. We've got hearings going on right now about the weaponization of the federal government for political purposes. If you were a witness to those, if you were advising Chairman Jordan or others, what would you say are the most important things that need to be aired? What things should these committees reveal to the American payer, the taxpayer, and the American voter?
Sure. Well, so one is obviously the funding. You know, there's the fact that this is the censorship industry is not a free market. It's subsidized by U.S. taxpayer dollars. The National Science Foundation has to be completely this is weaponization of federal government. This is $40 million. This is a Sam Bankman-Fried sized campaign in-kind campaign contribution, essentially to one side of the political aisle. Except that $40 million isn't coming from some esoteric crypto investor. It's coming from your own pocketbooks and savings for your retirement. So all of the federal government funding has to collapse overnight and has to be exposed. But there's so many other little things that have been provided in FFO reports that I hope make their way into the jumbotron of the hearings. For example, you've got the fact that EIP, who we just talked about, who is the partner of CISA, said in their own documents, they had an infographic showing that the purpose of their censorship techniques to stop your social media posts before they hit, quote, the virality threshold, was to stop three categories of, quote, IRL, in real life actions from happening. One was from stopping the social media posts from getting mainstream news coverage. That's nefarious, but somewhat self-explanatory and not particularly shocking given their stated goals. Number two was to stop in real life protests, not violent protests, not terrorism or extremism, protests, because they said that protests put pressure on politicians to take action and demonstrate the seriousness of conviction. And number three,
so the right of assembly, as is protected in the U.S. Constitution, is a bad thing for these people.
That's right. So it's not just part 1A of the First Amendment, freedom of speech. It's part 1B, so to speak, because it's freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. They don't want freedom of assembly because they in their own literature they've shown that when people actually go out and demonstrate and protest, it actually helps mobilize regulatory and legislative action on behalf of those constituents. So they wanted to stop the legislative reform of their own political ideas that were the incumbents in government. The third thing they wanted to stop, in their own words, was legal actions or lawsuits on the basis of narratives that they deemed to be misinformation. So understand that they deliberately set to chill your right of due process and your ability to actually get the government to change. This is the U.S. government deputizing a private sector group explicitly in advance, knowing that they didn't have legal authorization to do it themselves. And so they filled the gaps by outsourcing to this other group. So the federal government using an outside group to stop you from pursuing legal action that could challenge the federal government. If any third world dictatorship did this on any plot of dirt outside the U.S. mainland on this planet, we would call that a sanctions predicate and lobby to have that country economically devastated if they try to do something like that. And they were deemed to be adverse to U.S. interests. But we're doing it at home against half the U.S. population. And it's in writing. So I would say, Jim Jordan, laminate that page from the report. It's right there in FFO. Hold that up in front of the American people and watch as the sunlight disinfects.
Last thing, what has to happen next to fix all this? What is the minimum, whether it's big tech, whether it's government regulation? How do we put safeguards in place, Mike?
So as we mentioned, first and foremost, cut the funding and you're going to instantly cut 200,000 jobs of censorship industry professionals. That is an easy thing that the House Appropriations Committee could do tomorrow if they had the political will to do so. But another thing that that has to be targeted at some point is the technology used in the process of censorship. We mentioned how AI was actually what allowed 22 million tweets to be instantly censorable by a small cluster cell, essentially within DHS for the 2020 election. If the censors were forced to go back to pre-2016 technology because of regulatory constraints placed on the ability to use AI as the monitoring tool, or at least to provide transparency around what the terms that are being used are, and so that American people know how they're being algorithmically or through the use of artificial intelligence or machine learning, how they're being censored in that way. If you can force them back to the Stone Age, the forces of free on the technology side, they will not be able to compete with the forces of freedom in the propagation of ideas online.
The forces of freedom and the forces that are attacking freedom need to be sent back into the Stone Age. We love this man. He is doing God's work. Follow him, Mike Benz Cyber, and please support the Foundation for Freedom Online. The Foundation for Freedom Online. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I think there's a big disparity between the investments in black-led companies than other companies.
We want to help close the Latino wealth gap. I want to be able to help them build generational wealth. I love access to innovation because of what it stands for.
Giving access to opportunities such as training, such as financing, introductions that people would not necessarily get.
This is part of an initiative that everyone is committed to, from the CEO down.
It's meaningful work that has to be done.
My name is Beatriz Acevedo.
I'm Dave Salvan, and I'm happy to be part of Access Innovation.
Welcome, dear friends. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Mr. G, what is that thing that we opened? What is that clip from?
That is from... Where is that from? Which one was it?
The Silicon Valley
Bank.
That's
right. I couldn't even tell you if that was Signature. That's Silicon Valley.
But what's it about? What are they teaching?
How to run a successful business with banking.
You mean if you're Latinx or
yes.
your skin color is the right shade?
They're basically teaching the Biden banking system.
And it's working out pretty well for them, right?
Well, I think so, yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys. We had to share that with you because that is the explanation. Oh, everybody wants, what's the economic explanation? What were they investing in? What were the government bond rates that they were selling back and forth? Forget about it. You don't need to be an economist. It's a dismal science anyway. Just watch their own videos. Oh, we're here for the Latinx. We're here to empower minorities. Right. Here, that is SV, that is Silicon Valley Bank. This is something I found this morning on social media. This is a training video from the other bank. You know, the one that Barney Frank is a board member of, the guy who helped deregulate the restrictions on his his own bank. That's a bit weird. This is their priority. It's all about hard economic facts. Cut three.
The most common pronouns that folks are familiar with are she and he. Becoming much more common, and I don't know if there's anyone in the signature bank world, but probably you have clients that use they, them as pronouns. They're gender neutral pronouns on purpose. We talked about folks that are non-binary that intentionally don't identify as male or female. So some of those folks use they, them as their pronouns. Z is another gender neutral pronoun. And the other part of that would be here, spelled H-I-R. And then there's some folks that say, don't use any pronouns for me, just use my name. So I use he, him as my pronouns, but I'll go through all of these to talk about what they would sound like if I used each one.
What do you say to that? I mean, Eric, you're a young man. I do believe I'm not speaking out of school here, that I do believe. Do you rent the property you live in?
I do not rent it, actually.
Do you own it?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's even better. When you went to get your mortgage as a young man, at what point did you just assure yourself that your lender had done the adequate pronoun training?
That's the first thing I think of. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I got to make sure the real estate agent is trans. I got to make sure the person at the bank teller, I got to make sure that they're a person of color. That's all that matters in the world, obviously.
Ah, you're such a good boy. Well done, well done. He is being sarcastic, but this is where we are at right now. The Biden administration's policies are hostage to an ideology of sheer insanity. And if you don't believe that it's actually an ideology that is being penetrated into the minds of the youngest, well, there's something called the Jericho Middle School, where a Hispanic studies teacher was filmed on camera talking about how if you're a tenured teacher, you have a very special mission that goes as down, as deep as the sexuality of toddlers. This is the latest from Project Veritas. They're still delivering. James O'Keefe may not be working for them at the moment, but this, well, kudos to Project Veritas. Cut 10, Eliza Waters, Jericho Middle School.
A plethora of queer flags that I have in my classroom. And the truth is that we know that kids are coming out at younger and younger ages, and gender is, you know, sexuality as well. But especially looking at gender, we have kids as early as 2-3 years of age. I always tell them tenured teachers, you're going to have more longevity making change if you maybe play it a little safer for a little longer. Who knows if on Monday I'm going to come in and I'm going to be told to take down the flag, but I will do what Sarah did in ConnectQuad and not do so. Thank God for tenure. Lean on your tenured colleagues to do some of this work because we need you.
Lean on your tenured colleagues, meaning the ones who can't get fired, not to teach, but to do the ideological indoctrination. That is Eliza Waters from the Jericho Middle School. She's a Hispanic and social justice teacher. I'd love to know the job description for the middle school's social justice teacher. Talking about what? Did you hear what she said there? They're not even in school at 2 or 3, but she said, yeah. 2 and 3 year olds, sexual ideation, gender. They're thinking about coming out as the other gender. We have to stop them. That's called grooming. Talking about sexuality with minors, targeting the sexual identity of a 2-year-old, that person should be in prison. They should be arrested. That's the bottom line. If you're trying to groom people who are minors, talk to them about sexuality, you are the pervert. You are the person who is targeting the innocent. Now, you can have a sense of humor about it. President Trump was in Iowa, and look, we all remember what Ronald Reagan taught us to be happy warriors. But humor is also powerful in bursting their balloon, making them be seen for what they are, utterly risible. Cut 11.
One thing, if I was a basketball coach, I'd be the greatest coach in history. I'd have a woman's team. I'd have all men. I'm not a fan of LeBron James. I don't like LeBron. But I'd say, hey, LeBron, you ever think of becoming a woman? Because you're going to be on my team. We're going to go undefeated for the next 5 years, LeBron. I'm not a fan, but, you know, I would ask him that question.
We have to understand it's an ideology. It's perverse. It's diabolical. But perhaps one of the ways to bring over the people who are afraid is just to burst the bubble. It's absurd. It's absurd. Men as women? What are you talking about? Women as men? Yeah, let's win this one. You have a role to play. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. It is the Lenten season. Thank you to everyone who has already given to the amazing Food for the Poor campaign that is on the ground in 17 nations. Just listen to this clip on how serious the situation is and how your donations make a difference.
Guatemalans are especially vulnerable because half live in poverty. Now a quarter face malnutrition.
This dead corn represents calamity, literally starving families. Severe drought or too much rain at the wrong time is destroying crops, and along with it, families' hopes and dreams.
Families' hopes and dreams. If your family's safe, if you can feed your children, your loved ones, would you spare a thought, spare a dollar for those who, through no fault of their own, these children who go to bed hungry with empty bellies, how you can help them? It's so simple. A donation just once, for $72 will feed two children for a year. That's incredible. If you double that, $144, that's four children for 12 months. Make a difference. Please go right now to sebgorka.com and click on the Food for the Poor banner at the top or call in your donation. It's tax deductible at 855-330-4673. That number is 855-330-4673. It's one of the most blessed things you can do this Lenten season. Just go to S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com and hit the Give Food, Give Hope banner. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem News Channel. What does the banking crisis mean for Palo Alto and beyond? All that and more next here on the Salem News Channel.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.